The Volkswagen Polo has quite a strange birth. I suppose it was a hedge against the Golf being unpopular, but it's still odd that it was launched as an Audi just at the moment when that brand was trying to go upmarket. But no matter what its genesis, the Polo has gone on to become a big seller for Volkswagen. So, on with the show.
It's not the first Supermini, it's not the most popular Supermini, but the Volkswagen Polo is my favourite Supermini. A large part of that is probably that my family owned one in 1977, and I spent my adolescence youth hostelling around Britain in one while music blasted out of the windows. The Polo has gone on to be a world car with many variants, but the Polo wasn't originally a Volkswagen at all, and it wasn't even conceived by them. And why did Volkswagen launch the Polo just a few months after their slightly larger but very similar Golf? Let's find out. The story starts not with Volkswagen, or indeed any company from the Volkswagen Group, but with NSU. They were a car company that started way back in 1873 making bicycles. By the 1950s, they had become a top motorcycle producer, and in the 1960s were making small, affordable runarounds like the NSU Prinz, a car that looks suspiciously like the Hillman Imp. Or as the NSU Prinz predates the Hillman Imp by 2 years, did the Imp look suspiciously like the Prinz? They're also famous for producing the first Wankel or rotary engine, in a car that was wonderfully called the Wankel Spider. I think more cars should have names like this. Unfortunately, the engine wasn't reliable, leading to many warranty issues that put the company in dire straits. The company was sold to the Volkswagen Audi Group in 1969 and was put under the Audi wing. Before the takeover, NSU was working on Project K50, a new small hatchback, and with the introduction of the Fiat 127 in 1971, Audi felt this car would be ideal to stay competitive. Between 1971 and 1974, the newly combined Audi NSU Auto Union AG company worked on developing the car along with Marcello Gandini from the Bertone Design House. Gandini was more famous for designing such supercars as the Lamborghini Countach, and he invented its scissor doors. But here he created a classic and practical design which they named the Audi 50. It was launched with much excitement and half-dressed guitar-playing Spaniards in 1974. This rounded out Audi's range of cars with the small Audi 50, medium Audi 80, and large Audi 100. It was rebadged as the lower-spec Volkswagen Polo just 6 weeks later, and in 1974, lower-spec means just that. When it launched, the Polo didn't even have a fuel gauge. The timing couldn't have been better. Earlier that year, the oil crisis had quadrupled petrol prices, meaning customers were looking for fuel-economical cars with small engines. The Polo and Audi 50 fit the bill with small 895cc, 1.1-litre and 1.3-litre engines, although initially the Polo was restricted to just the smallest engine. In 1975, more than 84,000 Audi 50s were sold, more than its Audi 100 cousin, and even more than the Volkswagen Polo, which only sold 74,000. The Polo name was chosen, like the Golf, to denote sporting games. Thankfully, other more dubious names were passed over, such as Benito, Euros, Pony, and my personal favourite, Mini Golf. Maybe someone told them that that was what Americans call Crazy Golf. It's easy to think that the Volkswagen Polo and Golf were cut from the same cloth, but they had very different starts. Despite the Golf being launched in May 1974 and the Polo in September of that same year, the Golf was an internal Volkswagen project started as a successor to their classic Beetle. By allowing NSU and Audi to take the Polo to market, Volkswagen was doubling down on the bet that Superminis were going to be the future. Given VW was in severe financial difficulties and fighting for survival in 1974, it was of vital importance that this Supermini bet would pay off. What's even more important is to consider the importance of acquiring NSU at just the right time. Volkswagen and Audi in the late 1960s were mainly focused on rear-wheel drive cars. NSU brought the front-wheel drive expertise that VW needed for their future success. In 1977, VW launched the Derby, a polo with a boot. It had been developed by Audi, but they decided against releasing it and offered it to Volkswagen instead. In fact, by this time, the Audi 50 sales had taken a nosedive, while Volkswagen Polo sales were suddenly rising. By 1978, Audi decided that as a premium car manufacturer, it should be focusing on larger cars and discontinued the Audi 50. It would take until 1999 to reverse this decision with the premium Audi A2, which would share the Polo Mark IV platform. But the Polo went from strength to strength. It started to receive the creature comforts that were initially exclusive to the Audi 50. It got a facelift in 1979, and a faster GT model was offered to try to replicate the success Volkswagen was having with their Golf GTI. Over 500,000 Mark I Polos were sold. An excellent start, and with the Golf also selling well, this helped to vindicate Volkswagen's bet on Super Minis. Although the Golf was sold in North America as the Rabbit, why exactly did they call it the Rabbit? They didn't export the Polo. Americans liked larger cars, and the Golf was seen as the spiritual successor to the Beetle, which had sold well in the States for years. In fact, the Volkswagen Group still don't sell anything smaller than the Audi A3 or Golf in North America. The Mark II Polo came with a new body style, a near vertical tailgate that looked almost like an estate car. It was confusingly called the hatchback model, with the existing hatchback style being called the coupe. This naming came about because the hatchback and saloon were launched in 1981, but the coupe wasn't launched until 1983, a reaction to the fact that some people didn't like the new hatchback style. The new models were limited to two engines, the 1 litre and 1.3 litre. In 1984, the dashboard received an update to keep up with the rapidly evolving competition, like the Peugeot 205 and Ford Fiesta. However, there still wasn't a five-door version. In 1985, the saloon Derby model was renamed as the Polo Classic to avoid model confusion. Volkswagen toyed with highly fuel-efficient models like an experimental small diesel and Formel E petrol engine with automatic start-stop of the engine when stationary. These weren't productized, but the knowledge was used on later models. A more conventional diesel 1.3 engine arrived in 1986. Hot hatches were definitely a thing in the 80s, as Volkswagen knew only too well with the car that started it all, the Golf GTI. The Polo became a lot faster with a special edition GT40 in the mid-1980s, but with typical reserved German styling, you wouldn't know it was a hot hatch at all. But Volkswagen had to tread a very careful line. They didn't want the lighter and potentially quicker Polo to take sales away from their more expensive Golf GTI. There was another facelift in 1990, both inside and out. The dashboard layout was reorganized to be more like its larger Golf sibling. The exterior became 10% more aerodynamic, with a reworked front end, and the front and rear glass was glued in to remove seams. Volkswagen continued its fuel efficiency tests with an Eco Polo in 1988. This used a 3-cylinder diesel engine along with a supercharger from the G40 to produce an amazing 138 miles per gallon when going at a steady 40 miles an hour. Again, although this wasn't productized, developments went into future Golf and Lupo models. In fact, the latest diesel Polo can get a staggering 78 combined miles per gallon. By now, the Mark II Polo was looking very dated, and a new model was planned to be introduced in 1992. Due to the high demand for the existing model, that introduction was delayed until 1994, while further refinements were made. Since 1994, four more major revisions have been made to the Polo, with the most recent being the Mark VI in 2017. It quickly gained its five doors, plus many other creature comforts. The latest model has a full suite of airbags, heated seats, ABS, traction control, parking assist, adaptive cruise control, autonomous emergency braking, climate control, and keyless entry. Very different from the original Polo that had cardboard door inserts and no key lock on the passenger door. But all these modern features add up. You can easily spend over £25,000 on a fully loaded new Polo. But compare that to the first Polo at 8,000 Deutschmarks. If you convert that into today's prices, that's over £40,000. We're certainly getting more car for our money. A cautious Volkswagen finally offered a Polo GTI in 1998 as a limited edition, worried they might erode the Golf GTI market. They made the GTI a production model in 2000, but with a 0-60 time of 10.6 seconds, it didn't live up to the GTI pedigree. The GTI is now a firm staple of the Polo lineup, with the Mark 6 giving a brisk 0-60 time of just 6.7 seconds. Every year, Volkswagen reduces the number of specialized parts it uses on its vehicles. The Polo uses many of the same parts that the Golf uses, and the Polo chassis and body parts have been used on many other cars around the world, including the Seat Ibiza, Seat Cordoba, Skoda Fabia, Volkswagen Vento, Virtus, and Gol. And in 1999, the Polo platform was once again used by Audi, first with the A2 and now with the A1 model. It's much larger too, with the latest Polo being larger than the first three generations of Volkswagen Golf. The Polo has truly become a world car. The Mark 1 Polo was only manufactured in Germany, but in the mid-1980s, production was expanded to Spain with Volkswagen's purchase of Seat. By 1994, the Polo was also being assembled in Argentina, and by 2001, assembly of the Polo and its variants had spread to Eastern Europe, the Ukraine, Russia, Africa, and China. In 2009, the Mark 5 Polo and its variants were no longer being manufactured in Germany at all, but production had spread to more parts of the world. By the Mark 6 in 2017, it had been consolidated to these locations. In 2009, Volkswagen did look to expand sales to North America, possibly as a reaction to Ford's decision to launch the Ford Fiesta there in the same year. High petrol prices and a global recession were moving people to smaller cars, and Volkswagen felt people would appreciate the fuel-efficient Polo. But it wasn't to be, and in fact Ford ended production of the Ford Fiesta in North America in 2019 as customers increasingly drive trucks and SUVs. Nearly 1.4 million Polos and its variants were sold in 2018 alone, so it's safe to say the Polo has been a big success story for the Volkswagen Group, and it continues to go from strength to strength.
As I mentioned at the start, the Polo was initially a hedge by Volkswagen boss Rudolf Leiding against the Golf being a flop. When that car was successful, Volkswagen found that they had two superminis and the Polo didn't belong as a luxury Audi, so they took the bold decision to sell both together under the Volkswagen name. That ended up working out well for the company, as small hatchbacks were the hot property in the 1970s and the company had two to choose from. It's surprising that the first generation car designed by Marcello Gandini, who recently passed away, was so similar to the Golf. Maybe both were going for the round headlight look to mimic the bug-eyed Beetle it was replacing, but in any case it helped give a family look to both cars when they were sold under the Volkswagen brand. The Polo is still on the sixth generation car and it got a facelift in 2021. Digital dashboards are now so inexpensive that they're fitted as standard on this small car, but even this small car has adaptive cruise control, parking assist and heated seats. It still exclusively uses internal combustion engines, no EVs, plug-in hybrids or even mild hybrids. The Polo is old school. That's not to say that Volkswagen isn't looking at electrification in the future. They showed off an EV GTI concept in 2023, but the Polo will likely be sold alongside any new small EV, such as the ID.2 that Volkswagen keep talking about. But given the stalling of EV sales, we may see the Polo around for a lot longer than we initially thought, but without a seventh generation update. If you like this podcast, then please let people know and leave me a rating and review. If you want to see these podcasts as a video, then take a look at my YouTube channel. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.